All right, I apologize for the delay. There was an accident on the road. Yeah, so let's go ahead and get this thing rocking and rolling. Roll call.
Commissioner Sinapa.
Present.
Commissioner Geary.
Here.
Commissioner Anderson.
Here.
Commissioner Blackburn.
Here.
Commissioner Taggart.
Here.
And Supervisor Press.
Nice.
Here.
Next, on to the approval of summary proceedings for the February 20th, 2019 meeting. Do I have a motion?
I saw no errors. I make a motion we accept it.
I second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
I wasn't able
to. All right. Okay, next, on to the consent agenda. It looks like we have nothing. We'll keep on going. Next, public presentations. This portion of the meeting is reserved for persons to address the commission on any matter not on the agenda, but under the jurisdiction of the commission. Commissioners may respond briefly to statements made or questions posed. They may ask a question for clarification, make a referral to staff for factual information, or request staff to report back to the commission at a later meeting. Also, the commission may act to direct the staff to place a matter of business on a future agenda. Please come up to the podium. State your name and address for the record before making your presentation. You will be limited to 2 minutes, and if everybody could please be sure to turn their phones off or down so as not to disrupt the meeting.
I don't have a public comment. I'll just turn the mic away.
Oh, okay. All right. So we'll start on the first table. Public presentations. Nada. Second table. Liz.
Good evening, commissioners. My name is Liz Keogh, K-E-O-G-H. I'm a proud resident of the 5th Central Missouri District, represented on the commission by Mr. Sinapa, Lubin 05. I hope you all will join me in wishing a very happy birthday to the Director of
That's what I need.
Council, can I get a judgment on that? Is that allowed?
I thought we said pretty much.
We carried the tune.
Thank you.
More serious matters, and technically, I suppose this isn't under the jurisdiction of the commission, but I'm going to bring it up anyhow. I don't know how many of you know that the city of Bakersfield's trap new vaccinate return program for feral cats has been run by the Best Friends Society out of Kanab, Utah. There was a 3-year contract signed last year in May, a March, I mean, and they, best I know, is they've done 2,200 cats so far. At the end of last week, they gave notice to the City of Bakersfield's Animal Care Center that they're folding their tents, pitching, you know, pulling up stakes, and they are leaving as of the 14th of April. There are reasons for this that I will not go into here. Some of you may accurately guess what they are from my previous presentations, but to me, this is yet another reason why the commission ought to go back to considering a joint powers authority, because it is not just a question of no feral cat program for city residents. This business of county residents showing up at city clinics and being turned away, city residents turning up at county clinics and being turned away, is unadulterated nonsense. So last but not least, if anybody has electricity from Pacific Gas and Electric and would like to know a little bit about what's going on, I will hang around after the meeting. Come see me. Hey, I made it.
Good job. Thank you.
Madam Chairman?
Yes.
One comment.
Yes, please.
This board does not have jurisdiction to discuss the situation with the City of Bakersfield. It needs to go to the Board of Supervisors.
The City
Well, the board doesn't have jurisdiction.
The board doesn't have any.
The Board of Supervisors is the only one that can decide to reapproach the city of Bakersfield.
Oh, for the joint powers thing?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm with you. But we can still make a recommendation. We had a subcommittee established a while ago that kind of fell apart. I know this from personal experience.
All right.
Susan Richardson, 93306. And you know, I brought it before. You need to start a clock. You're not doing your business.
Wow.
Okay. She's being honest.
Go.
2 o'clock sometimes. Anyhow, you know, I've talked about the ringworm issue before with the dogs and stuff. And I know the county doesn't get a whole lot, but my concern is, again, and I don't know if you guys have business contacts or you can bring this up with the Board of Supervisors, but I spoke with Nick about this. If there was some way to maybe get up, you know how they have them in portable pods like classrooms, mm-hmm. you know, where they could set up something specifically just for that, even if they had put cats and dogs together. So I don't know what it would take to do something like that, but my suggestion is maybe that's something we need to look into. And I had also told Nick I'd even be willing to come down there and, you know, help treat them. I mean, I'm still willing to foster them, and he knows that, but, you know, I know they got two, like, in one day, mm-hmm. you know, and, yeah, I can foster probably more animals than some people can, but I also have my limit. So I'm really interested, or if anybody has any suggestions or directions for me that we can try to look into something like that. I don't know what, I know city treats framework, the city shelter does. I'm not exactly sure how they do that or how they can separate it, but I really think that's something that we need to look into. I know it's more common in cats.
Yeah, it is.
You know, I realize that, but it seems like seeing a little bit more of dogs coming in with that as well. So I really think it's something that, like I said, I don't know if you guys need to talk to your respective supervisors and see what we can do, or, you know, or if there's something, some direction you can give me that I can look into. I mean, I'd be more than happy to do it because I'm really interested in figuring this out, because both of those dogs were owned. Luckily, they were bought enough times where the owners actually came looking for both those dogs. So they actually never made it to my house.
Oh, okay.
So,
good job.
But I'm really interested in trying to figure out that issue.
Okay. So, Nick, we have a quarantine, right? You have a quarantine.
Yeah, so what Susan's referring to is that she had fostered a dog before. Actually, she was aware of a dog before that had come in, was diagnosed with ringworm, and was euthanized on the direction of the county veterinarian because of ringworm during the stray hold, I believe. So it was a bit of a conversation that we had with our medical team and just trying to make a an individual case-by-case decision based on the animal when we do see ringworm in dogs. We don't see it very often. Thankfully, Ms. Richardson is willing to take those animals on a foster basis when we do see them. But what she's recommending, what she came by my office, thankfully, actually, is to talk about the possibility of some sort of alternate unit to be able to provide care for ringworm-positive dogs. But it's one of those things where we've given direction, or, you know, our medical staff has received some direction that, you know, when we're looking at a dog that has ringworm, do the best we can to contain that animal, to keep it from spreading zoonotically as well to other animals. So, but we try to use a little bit more caution, especially when it's during the stray hold period.
Right.
After that, it's probably a little bit of a different conversation, but yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it is communicable, but it's also treatable.
Yes, easily, relatively yeah. easily. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Susan. No? Third table?
Terry Kahn, KAHN, Bright Valley area of Tehachapi. Okay, I just wanted to have a clarification on record, if I could get it, that under our ordinances, 7.08.015 definitions, definition K for a commercial animal facility, and not what we're talking about in the ordinance committee, but it says training for a fee to do work. What is to-do work? Can I get a clarification on that?
Is that the full definition?
Commercial animal facility means any premises wherein any person engages in the business as it relates to dogs or cats, of buying or selling, of boarding, of letting for hire, training for a fee, to-do work, except an animal shelter as defined.
I believe I didn't write that one, so I'm going to take a wild guess. I would interpret that to mean a dog that's being trained as a service dog or as a herding dog, some type of job specifically for an animal. If you raise those type of animals, you can get a commercial animal facility permit for the area where you train them.
Okay, so training for fee to work then would not encompass a basic obedience class?
I think that's a matter of interpretation.
That's why I'm trying to get an interpretation.
Yeah. I have, to the best of my knowledge, that ordinance has never been interpreted with respect to that phrase. My interpretation would be no. But that would be at the discretion of the director.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
And just for reference, I would agree. That phrase, training to do work, to me means a herding dog, a working dog, not a dog learning obedience, because that obedience training is not, the dog's not going to be serving that obedience purpose for the rest of its life like a working dog might. So if it were to come to my attention, which it hasn't yet. If it had come to my attention and somebody was going to issue a citation for somebody that was a dog that was in obedience training, and the question came up of whether or not they needed a permit to do that for that dog, I would probably say no.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Continuing on. Judy, you got anything? Down further down the table? Okay, fourth row. Anybody back there? Looks like we have a lot of students. Welcome. It looks like last table down there. Danny, anything? Anybody back there? Okay, that concludes public comments. Thank you. Alrighty, on to staff announcements or reports.
Good evening.
Good evening.
My name is Nick. I'm the director of County Animal Services. Yes, it is my birthday. I'm 43 years old.
Identification number, please.
It doesn't feel like a baby. You're working in animal welfare every year, it's been like 7.
I'm right there with you.
So I just wanted to go over some highlights in February's director's report with a few other comments and statements. Our staff came to me, myself, and Sally yesterday. This may not mean anything to anybody, but we had 156 animals total in care at the Greenbelt location yesterday. That's pretty significant. I think that is the fewest animals we had ever had at that location, other than the day we moved in. And even then, that was only for the first few hours until we moved there. So I just thought that was awesome. And we're under no misunderstanding. We know that celebration will only last about 3 weeks or so before the temperature warms up and we start seeing more animals come in. So to be celebrated that there was only 156 animals in the county, and a lot in the county, the Fruitvale shelter. A lot of that is because of a promotion that we had on Sunday. We were open on Sunday for adoption. We placed 27 animals through adoption on Sunday, which helped with numbers, but that's good news. Also did want to mention that Sunday, April 7th, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Kern County Fairgrounds will be this year's third annual. Third annual?
Yes.
Yeah. I guess you have the terminology. Mega adoption event. There's a lot of new people in this room. Right around 2011 or so, County Animal Services was invited down to Los Angeles. We took part in one of their NKLA adoption events. And we had never seen anything like that before, where there was just so many different animal organizations that were all there for the same purpose, to find homes for shelter and rescue animals. So we always thought it'd be great if we could do something like that here and try to, it's not a county thing, it's just an animal welfare thing, placing rescue dogs and shelter dogs in adoptive homes all under one roof. So it'll be at the fairgrounds Sunday, April 7th from 10 to 4. It's called Mega Adoption. There'll be multiple agencies there, shelves included. Hopefully hundreds of dogs available for adoption. Sally, do you know any of the agencies offhand who are going to be there?
The city will be there. Shop will be there. Marley's will be there. Have a Heart will be there. Most
Pet Matchmaker.
Pet Matchmaker will be there. Most of the local rescues, SOS will be there.
So if you have nothing to do Sunday, April 7th, we always encourage folks, even if you're not looking to adopt, there's going to be vendors there with things for animals. And I think Bakersfield Obedience Training Club is going to be there with some agility lessons and things, just some cool things. It's just a cool thing to come out and experience and kind of see the local rescues and animal shelters that are really doing awesome work. And if you have a nonprofit or if you have an agency who has something to do with animals, or maybe not, that wants to participate, please contact us, although it might be too late by now.
No, we'll still take you.
We'll still take you. Sally is taking on a re-envisioning of the Make Kern No Kill Coalition. Again, that was something that we just kind of picked out of Los Angeles and the Best Friends people. They had NKLA, No Kern, the No Kill Los Angeles. We had Make Kern No Kill. We just wanted an organization to have like-minded organizations to get together in one room, talk about what the community needs as far as shelter animals, owned animals, spay, neuter, you know, education, how we can put some things together to promote that, to kind of stir the consciousness of the animal welfare, animal owners in the community. How do we get that done? So we put this coalition together. You know, and admittedly, we kind of ran out of steam. You know, we had a few events, we branded them Make Kern No Kill, but we're going to be having a mixer. It is at Brooklyn's Barbecue, which is at the corner of Calloway and Rosedale. It'll be May 2nd at 6 p.m. What day of the week is that?
It's a Thursday.
It's a Thursday, May 2nd. Anybody who's is active in animal welfare and wants to come out and maybe be part of the solution, talk about some ideas on how organizations can work together to try to promote responsible pet ownership, try to get into some of these communities and teach them one by one how to do a better job of caring for their animals. I mean, it's not the best venue to do that, but it's one of the only ones that we have right now. So if you're not busy and you're interested in participating in that, that was Thursday, May 2nd at 6 p.m., Brooklyn's Barbecue. It is not, you know, a county-sanctioned thing. It's just, you know, try to get together and bring up some solutions using the resources that we currently have.
Brooklyn, like where I come from?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Did you come from Brooklyn?
Yeah, that's where she was.
Okay, program highlights. Month of February saw 162 total animals leave for rescue partners our foster program. So 34 new animals entered the foster care program at the request of the commission. Our wonderful volunteer OSS, Amber, included the current animals in foster, which is 185 at the time that we pulled these records. So we'll have that in the reports from here on. The TNR is still viable since 2013. 8,355 total cats have been spayed or neutered through the TNR program. If anybody isn't aware of our trap duty release program, again, even though they might not be here for animal welfare reasons, there's a lot of new people here. The county runs a spay neuter program for feral cats. Trap neuter release, otherwise known as TNR, is a humane long-term solution to the feral cat problem in Kern County. And if you have stray feral cats in your neighborhood and you're a county resident, we will fix them for free. We only accept those cats Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays between the hours of 8 a.m. and 9 a.m. And we only accept a maximum of 8 cats per day, and it's usually pretty busy. But it's a good, humane way to take care of the feral cat problems in our community.
Do people need appointments, or is it on a walk-in basis?
It's a first-come, first-served basis, Ms. Keogh.
And what were the times again?
It is Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. We accept those cats between 8 and 9, 8 a.m. and 9 a.m. There are some stipulations. Like I said, 8 per day. First 8 get taken. You have to agree to pick those cats up the same day. So we don't keep them overnight. You have to come back and pick them up the same day.
And they have to be in a
Yes, we did change that. That is on the website and on some of the materials we hang out. Somebody brought that up. They have to be in an actual cat trap. That is a real thing. It is an actual cat trap that allows us to transfer it from your trap into another piece of equipment without getting scratched or bitten or losing the cat.
What if it's a nice feral cat?
It's a nice feral cat. A lot of times we find that out and we place it up for adoption. I mean, okay. We have no problems right now placing cats for adoption. So a lot of times it happens.
Often. I've got one of my kid caught, but he's got it in a crate. He's been handling it, so.
It still has to come in the program in a trap.
Yes.
Yeah, in a trap.
Friendly.
Yeah. Must be in a trap. Okay.
Moving right along, I did want to throw out there that I think as of today, I could say this, that the Friends of the Kern County Animal Shelters Foundation, by the way, you know, there's a lot of great organizations out there that are doing some amazing things for animal welfare. I'm not going to name them all right now, but the Friends of the Kern County Animal Shelters Foundation has been helping the county out for many, many years now. And usually the support that they give, they're a nonprofit. They have events that they, fundraisers that they bring in money and they help out the shelters when they're in need. And they don't just help out our shelter, they help the city of Bakersfield as well and any other shelter in the community that they ask for it. And it's usually to help animals in need. They don't give money to us or the city or some other organization to offset, you know, employee costs or something like that. It's directly related to the animals. So if you know anybody that has a whole pot of cash and they want to give to some Friends of the Kern County Animal Shelters Foundation is a good one. They have been so kind and generous to donate $5,000 to the county animal services to continue our free parvo distemper vaccines. We were just about exhausted for all the funding. We've been giving out free parvo distemper vaccines 6 months now, maybe a little bit longer. And we were down to literally like the last 40 or 50 vaccines. So Friends donated another $5,000 that'll get us by an indeterminate amount of time, probably another 4 months or so. So I wanted to say thank you to them, even though I don't think any of them are here. Nobody's here. I did want to point out, as far as vaccination clinics, if you look at your page 3 vaccination clinics, look at the Lamont Park clinic. 295 rabies vaccinations were issued. 307 parvo distemper vaccines, 315 licenses in 1900.
Awesome.
Were issued at that clinic. And that just, if you look at the other clinics, you can see how much that is above and beyond. A lot of that is due to canvassing before the event. And our officers working in concert with our PET team to get people to go out to that clinic and keep their animals healthy and lean. Moving right along. Adoptions so far to date, 324 animals in February were adopted. Like I said, we had an event just this Sunday. We were open Sunday. 27 animals were placed on Sunday. Year-to-date, 717 animals have been adopted from county shelters. One single cat from Petco. That doesn't have as much to do with the lack of volunteers cleaning them as much as it does. It just hasn't been cat season. Well, in February, it wasn't cat season. We're also just about to open up our kitten nursery again, second year. So if anybody is looking to volunteer their time at a kitten nursery, come down and see us and fill out a volunteer application. February, we participated in World Spay Day. We issued spay-neuter vouchers. We also altered almost 100 cats, I think, on property just on that day, World Spay Day, February 26th. We issued well over 150 spay-neuter vouchers, I think. Yeah. So it was very successful. It was a little stressful for some of our staff, especially Sally. But on the bright side, that's over 250 animals that are not going to be able to breed.
Can I add that city also was invited to that and issued, I think it was over 100 vouchers. City Field Services did away with the appointment at Critters requirement. So I'm going to be curious to see how many of those get redeemed. And Kern Humane Society, as always, you know why Sue can't be here to talk about it, but Kern Humane was also there issuing vouchers.
Yeah, and there was multiple organizations. Liz herself was there on behalf of the city of Bakersfield. The Kern Humane Society was there. The cat people were there.
Right.
Meowco was kind of there. Harley Muntz was kind of there. There was multiple organizations that were there helping out, so it was very successful. Thank you for reminding me of that. Our volunteers donated 2,733 total hours in the month of February, equals about 15 staff members. Total value that has been given back to Kern County Animal Services by volunteers is approximately $64,000 in time. Jeff is back on duty, doing okay. He isn't the most disappointed person in the world that he did. I had told him he doesn't have to come to these anytime soon. He's still recovering from some things. So.
Right, I'm sure.
Yeah. Our field services numbers, 1,279 total calls for service were run. Mine says December, but I believe that should be February. 354 total calls led the statistics, which was from Northeast Bakersfield. 24 dogs were returned to owners in the field in the month of February. 62 dogs secured on property by animal control officers in the month of February. And then last but not least, it's still early. You know, we're just getting through, not just yet, but we're just getting through a quarter of the calendar year. And our euthanasia numbers right now are only about 20% less than where they were last year. So it's good to see. You know, we're still always preparing for the cavalcade of animals that are about to come in and make that a little more complicated to say. Good word, and I can answer it.
Well, we have to staff first.
Not really. Well, one question actually. So I know I wasn't here last meeting, but meeting prior to that, I know that representative from Bakersfield Boxers and Bullies inquired about the county coming out to their vaccination clinics and providing spay neuter vouchers. Did that end up happening, or was it successful?
Yes, it happened. I think it was in January.
Oh,
yeah. We did participate. The county was there issuing spay neuter vouchers. We didn't do all that many. I'm looking at Sally, but I want to say it was like 15, maybe.
Yeah, it's mostly Save the Kitties vouchers, but we did, and it was successful.
And believe it or not, even though it was in Oildale, if I remember correctly, there was a lot of city residents that were there.
There were a lot of, I was there, and there was a lot of small dogs, too. Yeah, there wasn't a whole lot of people showed up from, like, the pits and stuff like that.
But, I mean, it was overall, it was well-received. I thought it was well-received. I know that Sunny and I had touched on it a little bit about how to make them work a little better in the future. And have some sort of direction about when people come in that the county's here and they can help you with a spay neuter voucher. By the way, go over there and get their assistance. So, I haven't been notified. I don't believe they have any spay neuter or vaccination clinics scheduled yet.
I know. Look at it. Coming, but I don't know if it's them. I can't remember.
No, they haven't been.
Not this weekend.
Another one has not been scheduled yet.
Yeah, I didn't.
Oh, they didn't.
One had to be postponed due to weather, so that has not been rescheduled yet.
Thank you for working with
that. Yeah. Got a couple. Anyway, Nick, I was pleased about the Sunday event. Is that the first one we've had in a long, long time?
Just a Sunday event?
Yeah.
No, we do them maybe once every 3 months or so.
It's every 3 months.
It's not on a clock or anything.
But to get 27 adopted is one day, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's 27 animals that wouldn't have left on Sunday.
Exactly.
Made it easier for the staff to clean on Monday and Tuesday.
No, I'm pleased with all the numbers. I mean, really, and I appreciate the 185 that are currently in foster. We have an idea of what the number are that we have, and then 34 new ones. First thing I noticed was Lamont today when I opened it up and read this. I thought, man, this is really amazing. 295 rabies, 315 licenses in Lamont. I thought, and that's been a problem area for a long time.
Yeah.
So I thought, man, someone's really working hard at this. And then when I get over to the intakes, more good news. 21% fewer cats than this time last year, 12% fewer dogs than this time last year. And on the adoptions, I mean, it's huge. I mean, another huge month, I mean, or 2 months in this case. 503 dogs, that equates to about 12 per business day, everybody. That's a lot of work, a lot of paperwork, a lot of people coming in and making commitments, so a lot of work going on behind the scenes. So good work, and then the
save rate seems to be around 77-78%, but really pleased with the numbers and looking forward to the mega adoption event. So that's all I have. Thank you.
Real quick, probably one of the reasons for, and correct me if I'm wrong, Sally, she's probably not going to correct me even if I am wrong.
Part of the reason why
the Lamont Clinic was such a big turnout is because it was Arvin residents, too, that were showing up.
There was a few, but the Lamont Clinic was very similar size to last year.
Yeah, so it's not out of the ordinary.
It's not out of the ordinary.
And we're only out there once a year.
Once a year.
And anybody else have any other questions?
I think Lamont has traditionally been one of the bigger clinics.
Yeah.
I mean, those people, you know, the supervisor did clinics back in 2013, and we had more people than we could handle. I wanted to ask on these DAPP or DHPP, where are they held?
So is that, doesn't work that way? We don't purchase the vaccines and then keep them just for those purposes? It's a more of a dollar figure. So like Blake will pull a report every month or whenever I ask him to say, hey, how many free vaccinations have we given out? And then when he makes that determination, he subtracts that from all the donations we had, so he's able to tell me, okay, we have such and such amount of dollars, and then we can translate that into how many vaccines can we purchase.
I mean, my question is, where do you give them out at? The clinics on Wednesday?
Both the Wednesday clinics and then the
Saturday.
And the
field clinics?
Yeah.
Okay.
And by the way, that's for city and county residents, the DHPP.
Why I'm asking is because you know I'm down at Kern Humane, and people come in and ask about clinics and vaccinations and all that. Mm-hmm. So I run by what the city cost and, you know, what you can get is. Is it fair to tell them that if they are county resident and they go to the county clinic, they can get the DAPP for free?
Yes.
Okay. I just don't want to give out misinformation.
I mean, it's all based on funding, but we're okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Any questions? I did want to add one more thing, if nobody has any questions. And I've told you some of this individually, and you've told me that I don't say it enough, and I want to say it now. And it's for the commissioners, too. The numbers that are on this piece of paper are only one small piece to the puzzle here in this community. By the way, we're not the only community that has a lot of struggling dogs and cats out there. But for ours, this is one small piece. What worries me, and what worries the rest of the department a lot of the time, while we're caring for the dogs that are in the shelters, is what's happening and what's occurring with the animals beyond our doors. I will be the first to tell you that if this were, you know, a football game, I'll put it into footballese, you know, maybe on the 30-yard line. You know, we got a long way to go before we get to an end zone. But, you know, we were at the 2-yard line 6 years ago. So I just want to make sure everybody's aware that we have a long way to go in Kern County to get to where we all want to go. And the statistics, although they're good and they're trending in the right direction, especially for somebody who is responsible, and I'm not kidding, for the euthanasia of almost 22,000 animals in 2011. So for me to see the statistics where they are now, I'm able to say, okay, we're making progress, but I can be the first to admit that we have a long way to go as a community. So I just want to make sure that everybody understands it. That's it.
Thank you, Nick.
Thanks.
If I could have a motion to receive and file.
Motion made.
Second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
All right.
Any opposed? All righty. Next, ordinance subcommittee.
That's you too.
So our subcommittee met again earlier today. We have put together recommendations on changes to ordinances having to do with tethering, having to do with breeder's license, changing the commercial animal facility license, or differentiating between a commercial animal facility license and a breeder's license. We kind of feel that verbiage and language will be beneficial to our entire community. And we are still working through a lot of things, but we feel as if the subcommittee is getting through with a lot of good debate and working through all of the intricacies of our ordinances to make sure that we can better represent or better enforce what is on the books here in Kern County. That's pretty much all I have there. If anybody has any questions about that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you, guys. We appreciate all your work that you're all putting into it, too. Thank you very much. Do I have a motion to receive and file?
I'll make a motion.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All righty. And Blake, you're up.
My turn.
Funds update.
Good evening. I am Blake Smith. I am the business manager. I'm here to talk about the spay-neuter report. If you didn't pick one up, there should be some left over there on the table. We are moving right along very quickly, and I had to move the budget numbers around quite a bit because I budgeted about $15,000 now, $13,000 for outline, and then we started issuing a whole bunch of vouchers in Taft and a whole bunch of vouchers up in Lake Isabella, and so I had to move the money that we were going to do for outlying down into the vouchers to cover the cost of those vouchers. This is what we've got left for the end of the year for our spay-neuter funding. It's $68,000. So it's moving along. We're not having a problem getting animals spay-neutered. So any questions? I'm gonna throw Sally under the bus. Tell them the name of the organization that gave us money for 50 pit bull and pit mix.
Stand Up for Pits Foundation, and we're doing an event called Angel Day on April 2nd, where we're gonna spay neuter 50 pit bulls at the shelter.
Cool. So that's in addition to our Save the Pitties program, and I applied for another California Food and Agriculture grant. We're waiting to see on that. And the purpose of that grant will be to expand the Save the Pity program throughout the county and increase it, because we're getting a lot of, we're almost out of funding for that there. As you can see, we've got about 6,600 left. So we need to hopefully that event next month will take care of, you know, helps take some of the pressure off, because we're doing really well and we have a good response. So any questions?
Yes. Will.
Commissioners?
No.
Okay, Liz.
Speaking of grants, what about the California Veterinary Medical Board? No? You're looking blank at me.
No, I'm not. I wasn't aware of the California.
Yes, you were, because you wrote and told me this is the one from the spay-neuter license plate.
Okay, that's the CDF.
They ran that through California Food Bureau, for the Food Mag.
Oh, they did?
They did. Okay, so it's from the license plate?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one I applied
for. That's the one, okay.
And just so you know, I got another email saying, and I can't tell if it's for another grant or if it's for, they didn't get a lot of people apply for the money there, but just as I was walking out the door, there was another California Food and Ag grant I get to look at. So
good. Awesome.
We'll see what happens. I don't know what's going to happen with any of this. But, yeah.
Keep on keeping on.
Thank you, Blake.
All right. Thank you, Blake. Okay, do I have a motion to receive and file?
Motion made.
Second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All righty. Next, we have commissioner announcements or reports.
I don't have any necessarily announcements or anything, but I want to address the students here really quickly. Are most of you here for a political science class?
Yeah.
Do any of you have Stephen Holmes at BC? Awesome. Let him know that I said hello.
Okay.
Other other than that, like, write it down. Make sure you tell them. Other than that, that's all I got. I just wanted to see where they're from. Thank you for coming and learning about our local government. I know he probably gives you a...
Is that how you got into this?
No, well, actually, I did come to one of these meetings. It was a while ago. Yeah, I was one of his students. He always teases me whenever I see him still. I'm glad that you guys decided to come to this. Does he give you the option of coming to
a
board of supervisors?
Yeah, of every single.
You guys thought the animal meeting might be fun to come to?
Had we known there was a birthday, we would have had cake.
Than you thought. I know, we should have brought cake for dinner.
It's like five pages of different meetings that we could attend.
When you picked us! Yes.
I think the animal part, I hope it was as exciting as you thought it would be. That's all I got.
Thank you.
Central California Animal Disaster Team will be at the mega adoption with our brand new strike trailer to show off. So come down and see the breakfast.
Oh, you have the new trailer?
We got it.
Yeah.
Very cool. Awesome.
Good. Mine comment is very similar to Commissioner Sinapa's. I was going to ask for a show of hands for everybody from BC. So raise your hands up again. Wow, that's more than. Okay, how many here for the first time?
Okay. He forgets the last meeting every just wipes it.
So, how many hours are you required to, is it hours or is it events?
It's just events.
Events, okay.
So we're only required one event, but we can attend more for extra credit.
One event per semester?
Come back.
Yeah.
One event per semester.
Yeah, just for the actual grade, but if we wanted to come back and do more, we totally could.
Unidentified person.
I was going to say, my idea was, if it was like 10 hours, 15 hours, rather than getting 1 or 2 hours here, go down to the shelter and become a volunteer and knock out 8 hours in a day. And you can do it on one day or a week. So anyway, welcome to everybody, especially the students, but everyone that's here on a rainy night, and especially Commissioner Taggart has to drive away from
Ridgecrest,
which is a long way. I was kind of complaining about the drive I had to make. It was only 10 miles. Question in the back.
How do we get involved with volunteering and things like that? Because, do we ask you guys where to go? Or
Nick will be happy to tell you.
Yeah.
You can. I'll stick around after the meeting. You can come and ask me. I'll tell you. It's really very simple.
Okay. Love to have you.
Anyway, welcome to everybody here, and that's the extent of my comments. Thank you.
All right. I do have a question for you, Nick. Are you familiar with the new strain of distemper that's been discovered?
I'm aware, yeah.
Okay, all right. I don't think it's a concern here yet, but just so that you guys are aware.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're aware.
Not fun. Yeah, came in from another Korean dog. Okay, that concludes commissioner announcements then. Thank you all. All right. Old business, staff referrals, we have none. New business, we have none. So, that leaves us with adjournment until our next meeting, April 17th.
I make a motion, commissioner.
Go in a second. All in favor? Any opposed? All righty. You guys be safe out there. Drive carefully.